Apex Central listeners, you can find us every Monday through Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
Welcome, everybody, to Pick Central on the Barstool Sportsbook YouTube channel. Brandon Walker out today with some family obligations, so appreciate him giving me the opportunity to sit in as guest host. And we've got a fun lineup for you guys today. And first of all, Joey Molinaro back another day. Glad to have you back.
Thanks for having me, guys. Pumped to be here.
Heck yeah. Big Ev, join us.
I feel good. Last night was a battle. We're back. Avery's here. I think I have some more thoughts.
Well, we got plenty of time for it.
And it's very rarely I have thoughts on hockey.
Okay.
Very rare.
And then Avery joins us to start the show. Rico currently has other obligations for the first 15 minutes. We'll be in here in a little bit. And appreciate Avery joining us. Yesterday, you came on. We were discussing a lot of the Washington Capitals, New York Rangers drama, especially with Tom Wilson. And then last night, the game at Madison Square Garden, I know you went, did not go well for the Rangers. I believe lost 4-2. And also lost a few fights, a lot of weird stuff going on with the GM and stuff. The floor is yours. What's going on here, man?
Yeah, well, first of all, I just want to say I did pick over, and it pushed, so that was
six.
Good. Yep, Brandon
it seems said very high.
Well. It was a good push, too. It was nothing through one, so that's a good push.
Yeah, and also it was awesome to see TJ Oshie score a hat trick after his dad passed away. That was really awesome. But, yeah, what happened last night was, I think, expected. It's a second line brawl I've seen live. It happened in 2012 against the Devils. And, man, it was a crazy game. I've never, over 100 penalty minutes in the first period, never seen anything like that. I think the Rangers did a great job. I hate the whole thing. It's like, oh, they lost the fights. It's like, it wasn't about that. It wasn't about winning the fights. It was about showing that you had pride, showing that you cared. So they went out. They not only, what's that? I can't hear. Oh, closer to the mic. All right. Sorry. Zah. I love you, Zah. But, yeah, I think that they did a great job. I think they did what they needed to do. Obviously, don't win the game, but Brendan Smith went out there. He went right after Tom Wilson, literally as he stepped on the ice. Like, that needed to happen. I want to hear your guys' thoughts, too. I don't know.
Well, I guess also, so I think without realizing you were handicapping the game, I thought you handicapped the game perfectly yesterday in the sense of, like, you said, like, they're, like, in a fighting standpoint, a physical standpoint, like, they will lose. They're just a less physical team. That's why I was like, it's a tough – I kind of related to almost, like, the bully beating up the, like, someone smaller, and you almost – the bully gets almost empowered by it and gets, like, drunk off, like, the – like, they just know they can continue to do that. But you just sold me a little bit on the fact that – because I was going to come in here being, like, just – as a lifelong New Yorker, almost embarrassed to have New York in front of their name with everything that's going on. But you sold me a little bit on, listen, I understand that, like, you can't win every fight. They went out there, came at Tom Wilson right away. I can definitely respect that. It's a fight that they probably don't have anyone on the team that could just beat them up, correct?
Yeah, well, two of the guys who would have been those guys were out, too. Jacob Trouba and Ryan Lindgren, both who are known for big hits and big plays in the corner. Like, they can pound bodies. They were out of the game. So they were definitely outmatched. I thought they did well for what it was. But, I mean, this Capitals team, that they're big, strong, that they won a Stanley Cup in the past 3 years. Like, they're a strong team.
So let me ask you, so the GM thing.
Yeah.
Are you buying that they would have did this if this incident didn't happen?
I think.
Or the press release and all that?
I think yes, because they were pushing for a playoff spot. I think James Dolan had in his head that they were going to, you know, either get there or be really close. And when you get blown out two games against the Islanders, like your rival, like, this is a team that you should have a close game with. They get shut out in both games. It's like James Dolan was probably like, I don't see this going anywhere, which is absolutely crazy. Like,
which
I think,
talent they have.
Yeah, I think that lunatic should be fired, but that's beyond the point.
Honestly, that was the point I was getting to, because my understanding is that they've had two, like, super high draft picks.
Yeah.
They're building this, like, young core that could be good for the future. It just seemed like a weird time to fire a GM. Like, in any sport, you're building all this, like, you're building this young team, this young core that's supposed to be really good.
And they're not really in win now mode.
And, yeah, like, you just fire your GM. Like, what were expectations this year? Were you thinking playoffs or no?
Close to. They made the qualifier. They shouldn't have made the qualifier last year. It was like a toss-up. But I think they definitely should have been in the race, which they were. I mean, if you look at the other divisions, they would have made the playoffs if they were in any other division in the NHL.
Okay.
So, I think it was a successful year. I think next year you definitely have to make the playoffs for sure. And I think that's where Dolan was looking at. But what a ridiculous thing to do. For a team that 3 years ago wrote a letter saying they were going to completely rebuild the roster, they were going to get rid of the old guys, get young talent, and they did exactly that. I know it came with a couple of luck, like, you know, they got the 1 and 2 picks, you know, back-to-back, but at the same time, it's like Jeff Gordon traded a bag of pucks for Mika Zibanejad. He's their number one center. He scored 40-something goals last year. It's absolutely ridiculous. I don't know. I've never seen it in sports. You have a president who got Artemi Panarin to take less money to come to your team, a superstar, to come to the New York Rangers finally. They had Henrik Lundqvist for 10-plus years. They never had a superstar forward. They finally get the superstar forward, and then you fire the guy. It makes no sense.
The only sense it is James Dolan, brother.
Yeah, exactly.
As a Knicks fan, I can relate. It's James Dolan is just like he has to fuck something up.
Yeah.
The Knicks, things are going too well for the Knicks. He had to fuck something up. The Rangers have been the one thing that he's kind of been, they've been like a solid franchise, at least the last, like, 10, 20 years. They've been, like, solid, right? I mean, minors, they've been a couple Stanley Cups. I mean, they've been a competitive team that the Knicks have really not been until this year. And then in, like, 2013 was the last time they even had an above 500 record. He just, like, he has to fuck things up. He doesn't know anything else.
Yeah.
He's just the absolute worst human being on the planet. I hope for your sake that he does. You can't fire the owner. It's brutal. The guy owns the garden.
Do Rangers fans?
There's no out.
Do Rangers fans have the same disdain for Dolan that Knicks fans have?
Been that way, but he's kind of been in the back seat. Like, when the Rangers made the Cup in 2014, it had nothing to do with James Dolan. Like, everyone was like, oh, this is great because James Dolan doesn't touch the Rangers. He only, you know, fucks up the Knicks. Like, it wasn't anything about that. Now it's like, okay, is he going to start sticking his hands into the pot? I think the Rangers have a great fall from grace in terms of who their next GM is. Chris Drury is an unbelievable hockey executive. He works in USA Hockey. He's been with the team forever. He's great. But at the end of the day, it's like, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Well, that's even more like Glennie was talking about. Like, he's like one of the most beloved Rangers of all time.
Yep.
So it's even just that much more. Like, it's like they fired a guy who was doing a good job, one of their own guys, like a legendary Rangers player. It just makes zero sense. Like I said, the only sense is James Dolan.
Yeah, it's sickening. It took everything away from the Tom Wilson situation. Like, I'm at a point where I don't even care anymore. Like, the fact that he could have potentially risked the Rangers' future with that is just ridiculous.
Well, I mean, at least the GM hire, I mean, people are excited about it, right?
Yeah, oh, Chris Drury.
That's the one thing. It's, like, very weird to fire the GM, but at least it was obvious they had the guy they wanted.
Yeah, so he's been he's been with the team. He was an associate GM. He actually just got promoted this year to, like, a bigger role as an associate GM. But now it's like, you know, he's technically the president. I know Glenn Sather still has his hands and stuff. Glenn Sather 3 years ago said he was going to retire and that he was going to transition out. Now he's, like, helping Chris Drury. It's like, let the guy go. He's, like, the old head in the organization. It's like they're talking about grit now. You don't need grit in this league. I get you need a couple guys here and there, but Tom Wilson's like the last of the Messiah in terms of like these gritty hockey players. It's like the league is changing.
Yeah, it's like how the NFL phased out the hard-hitting safeties too, in a way.
Yeah, exactly. The league is changing. You got so many young players, so much young talent. I don't get what this whole grit thing is. I get in the playoffs, there's a lot more, you know, banging bodies and stuff like this, but skill is taking over, man.
Well, I was going to bring that up because honestly, it's funny. Like I said, I don't watch much hockey. Last night, I was doing some reading. I was doing some research, and I was like, so many teams were trying to – they were using the Maple Leafs as an example of kind of the team that has all this skill, but they lose in the playoffs because they don't have grit. Or, they're just not that toughness kind of gets you. And I think the NFL is kind of similar where it's like offense sells tickets, and now the game is being pushed more and more and more offense. But a good defense still will win 10 times out of 10.
See Tampa.
Like you said, like they have the good offense too, but if you have a strong defense, like you will be a good football team. Do you think that's like the same? Like that must have some correlation in hockey with the, like skill is only like skill is obviously what you want, but I feel like you gotta have that blend of both.
Yeah, I think you definitely need that, and it's hard to expect it out of the youngest team in the NHL, which are the Rangers. I mean, I think their average age this year is 23 years old. Their veterans on the team are like 28 years old. It's insane. But the Lightning have the best goalie in the NHL, Andrei Vasilevskiy. He's unbelievable, lights out. I think goalies are actually turning into the running back of the NHL because you pay these guys like Bobrovsky. Look in Florida, they paid him a shit ton of money, and the two backup goalies are the two best young goalies in the NHL.
Wow.
And he's just sitting there, you know, getting paid all this money, and they're using these other guys. So defense definitely does win. You need a solid top four, and I think the Rangers have that. I do think that the Rangers are building a roster where these like third, fourth line guys can still bang the body. They're still big. You got Morgan Barron coming up. He's a huge guy. But at the end of the day, you need the skill guys to win the game. The Rangers have had it, and the Rangers made the Stanley Cup. And I bet you if they had Artemi Panarin in 2014, they win. Like, you need the skill guys for sure. Absolutely. It's a skill game.
What was the atmosphere like in the Garden last night? Like 20 or 25%?
Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, it felt like there was a lot more than there was. I couldn't even imagine if there was 18-5 last night. But, yeah, it was absolutely insane.
The Garden's still bucket list for me. I'm looking forward to my first
trip. We'll make that happen.
Oh,
we certainly
will. I want to switch over now. Let's talk about John Means' no-hitter yesterday. Marty flies out to Seattle for the Barstool Classic and just shows up at a Mariners game. I think he bet the Mariners, didn't he?
The mush hits in different ways. That's the man said it himself. That's just what it is. We don't want to bring up that mean that I may have brought up. I bet on the Orioles yesterday because of Means. Did I think he was going to throw a no-hitter? No.
He's been dominant, though. Like, he closed last year really strong,
I'm
too.
I'm telling you, I've been betting on the Orioles when this guy pitches for like 3 years. He's great. The Orioles are sneaky, like have been kind of slowly building this team that's like a little bit better. They were just so god-awful. But, I mean, he for the last 3 years has consistently been like one shining star in a low-level team.
What's the thoughts on the drop third strike? Perfect game?
Yeah, so it was like a pass ball called on a drop. I read about it.
Yeah, Big T was talking about it this morning.
So I think you have to keep – I saw Coley tweeted this, but I thought was a good point. It'd be like if you were to ground ball, throw to first base, if it just hits the guy's mitt, you just kind of call it. Like, I know it's a little different, but I thought it was like a fair, like, if he drops it, he drops it. Like, it's just baseball.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Not a perfect game.
Man, it means.
It's a shame. Like, it's a damn shame because he deserved it, but it's a tough break.
The Orioles have been a little, you know, nobody expected them to be anything, but they've been more competitive than people thought.
They've been one of those sneaky teams. Like, I bet I'd love to see what they are, like, if you just keep betting them as dogs, because they always seem to me like they're always kind of a live dog. Like, they have some bats in the lineup.
They're always a huge underdog. They're plus 150 all the time.
A lot, and they win. Like, you get a couple of those, like, you come out on top, but they definitely have some hitters. Like, they got a guy like Means who's pitching every 5 days. Like, they're not totally god-awful.
Cubs swept the Dodgers, Joey.
Yeah, man.
And they were walk-offs. a huge underdog every night, too.
Well, yeah, I mean, you go up and you have Kershaw, Bauer, Buehler you got to go against in a three-game set, and they sweep it. I mean, and that's from a team that for a while, you know, they go through these spans where it's like they're dead in the water offensively, and then all of a sudden they come out and they get it done back-to-back, three games in a series, but back-to-back walk-offs. And, you know, Rizzo had me a little nervous last night, man. He fucked up. He had the chance to, I don't know if you saw.
He made some defensive error.
Well, it was like a mental error more so than anything. It was the top of the 10th or top of the 11th. I can't remember, but runners on first and third, one out. Ground ball hit to Rizzo. He doesn't step on the bag. It's 6 inches away from him. He throws it to Javi, tags him, lets the go-ahead run score. But then he comes back in the bottom of the 11th and he, you know, hits the game-winning walk-off, just pokes it through the left side there. But, yeah, interesting little spot from Rizzo there. You don't see that too often from my guy.
And Peterson pimping the sack fly.
That was brutal.
That was the headline.
I thought that ball was going out of the going to, like, South Chicago, where I don't know where the fuck the ball was going. The way he pimped it, like,
Lake
it was
Michigan.
Like a lock. Absolute lock.
But, you know, that's what was weird is I was watching it and I was like, off the bat, I was like, it sounded good. I don't think he got all of it, but he thinks he got all of it, so I was like, oh, let's fucking go. And then he was just camped out under it 3 feet in front of the warning track. Not a good look.
He sold the announcers too. Like that, they were like,
you think it's because he was playing his old team too, so he's just,
well, that's what Carl Ravitch wouldn't shut the fuck up about that, man. That's all they were talking about was, you know, he just wanted to walk off the Dodgers so badly. I mean, it was brutal, but yeah, I think that might have had something to do with it, Mincy.
I'm curious, okay, you're a huge Cubs fan.
Yeah.
I mean, everything was built up to 16 when they won the World Series.
Sure.
Like, first time in our lifetimes, heck, even our parents,
grandparents. Yeah,
it was like 08 or whatever. So what's it been like just since then as far as being a fan? Did that, like, take the edge off? Or, like, I mean, what's
– Yeah, no, I always love – and, you know, I say that I've been pretty lucky. like really lucky as a Cubs fan in my lifetime. I mean, I'm 27. In my lifetime, I've seen him, you know, win a pennant, win a World Series, win back-to-back division titles, 2007, 2008, 2003, four or five outs away from the World Series. You know, so I've been lucky. Like, I haven't really had the whole, like, doom and gloom Cubs. Yes, they had that rough stretch that got them to 2015, 2016, 2017, where they're
at least there was a
baseball.
But there was a plan then.
But exactly, there was a plan. So right now, it's like, I love when Carl, if we have a, you know, a bad stretch, he's like, good day for the 2016 World Series DVD. And I'm with them. Like, sometimes I'll, you know, I'll go back on YouTube and search those highlights just to get me through. But, no, I'm definitely like, hey, let's go. Let's fucking put up another one.
Okay. Yeah. It's like a weird thing as a fan, because it's like you dream of that one championship. Up and it hadn't happened in lifetimes, and then you get it. I mean,
2017 was like a cushion year. It was like, all right, you know, if they repeat, great, but like, we, you know, it's so fresh. But then 2018, ever since, you're like, all right, that was nice, but we want more. We want another.
Well, I think it was
Ohio State football was like,
well, they were, well, I
too.
Think with the Cubs, it was like, they were just so ahead of schedule. Mm-hmm. Like, they put together this team and they were so young, like, all their star players really weren't making any money yet. Because they literally had, like, essentially just got them up to the big leagues. And they all just hit, like, Javi, Rizzo, Brian. Like, they all were just, like, smash hit winners.
Yep.
You win right away like that. They make the Chapman Glaber, which was a great deal for both sides. You win a championship, it's always a win.
Absolutely.
We get a legit player win. Like, just, they won so early. So it's, like, so interesting now. And now I hear so much going on with the Cubs that they don't want to pay these guys. Like, The Rizzo offer I heard before the season was like insulting, I thought.
Yeah,
for like,
sure.
And he's just kind of been like, he's like the is
in the cornerstone.
Is he the captain? Is he like
a he's unofficially captain? Officially there. Yeah.
Right. He's like the leader of the team. I know he's like a really good character guy too. He does a lot of charity stuff. Big fan of his.
Well, dude, he was there in 2012 when they lost, you know, over 110 games. You know, I mean, when they were just god fucking awful. So I mean, yeah, he's been there through that. He's been there, caught the last out of the World Series. Pay the man.
Rico Bosco, what's up, man? Joining us.
Just
appreciate it.
The rundown.
Awesome. I saw that lineup look pretty. It ought to be a pretty entertaining one from what I saw.
Dave walks by and goes, look at this crew. Nothing else. All right.
I gotta jump in real quick. The Rangers were just fined $250,000 for their comments against George Parros in the NHL.
Ooh, $250,000.
$250,000.
And we were just discussing that the NHL player fine, the highest is $5K, so... $250K in the NHL. That's like an NFL $2 million fine.
Yeah, that's crazy.
$250,000 is hockey's operating budget. Like, yeah. That's tough.
Bettman said
the whole
that.
Year.
He just rolls with all of it.
Let's it go.
Bettman said that public comments of nature issued by the Rangers that were personal in nature of demeaning of a league executive will not be tolerated.
Well, I was saying, how much,
so then
how
what
much
are the fines going to be on the fist fight that just broke out?
Nothing.
$2,500. Yeah. Just fucking slap on the wrist.
Well, they're out of money. So,
how much do you think? Like, if like the Giants, just any NFL team, if they put out a similar statement about Goodell or like
$2 million,
or like the NFL's head of player safety, how much do you think? I was gonna say five.
Yeah, Goodell's
million.
A psychopath.
Draft picks too.
You think?
Dock them.
You also got to remember who you're dealing with. I mean, Goodell's a psychopath.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean, 250 in hockey seems.
It's that, a, that's that, a lot for
that's
hockey.
A shit ton.
That's a
if
lot.
If the most you can find is 5K.
Just from a statement, too.
That's insane.
That's wild.
Well, I think it was just literally saying directly, like naming the head of player safety and saying he's unfit for his position.
It's crazy.
It sets a precedent because then you can go after basically anybody you want.
Yeah.
You know, like, and then.
Rico, we discussed this on our little text thread earlier. I want to talk some NBA today with you because. One thing I want to get to, I think, is a topic. We got like a week left in the season, right? I think we're down to 5-6 games.
Yep.
There's a bunch of teams that just completely don't give a shit and are losing by 30 or 40 a night. I think for just our gambling following, we should probably identify those because they're certain. And the Rockets hadn't cared for a while.
No. Nope.
The Thunder. The Thunder. What they lost like what?
It was like 152 to like 97 or something. The Pacers won the other night.
Yeah, it was like they lost by like 67 or something.
Yeah, Domas Sabonis had a triple double in the first half. I mean,
the Cavs and Magic I think are on this list too.
Yeah,
from what
Magic,
I'm seeing
for sure.
There's certain teams though. I mean, they're getting huge lines, but they're literally not trying and fighting for draft picks at this point. And so I feel like we got to at least acknowledge.
Pistons got to be on that list too.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Pistons, Rockets are like number. Rockets and Thunder are like 1A, 1B.
Yeah. The Thunder thing is they've got so many picks coming up too, but they had such a good year with Paul and Donovan last year, and then they just. They're...
Honestly, I'm more. What do you guys think of like do you? So I've been saying all year that I think the NBA is just so chalk. Like, I'm starting to get sold a little bit on the Suns.
Yeah, the thing that's been interesting is they're finally getting.
They're starting to sell me that they actually could like challenge the Lakers a little bit.
The thing on the Suns were they were like top two in the West and they were still like 30-1 to win the title forever. There was just no respect, and now it's down to I'm seeing 12 or 16 to 1.
Even that's still really high considering like they have a real good chance like they're gonna find themselves probably in the conference finals.
They line up to be the what, three?
The Suns are the one right now.
They're the one, yeah.
They're the one. They have the best record. So what's weird is the Lakers could fall anywhere. LeBron's sitting out a couple games resting his ankle for the playoff run, which makes total sense. But
am I looking at the wrong thing? I have the 47-19, and I have the Jazz 48-18.
Okay, never mind. They're second. They jumped the Jazz the other day when they beat them, but they lost it back.
Yeah, well, that's my pick. The Jazz is 7-1 win the whole thing.
See, you'd rather take the Jazz than the Suns?
I'm going to take – I didn't want to take credit for it because you took the Suns, but those are the two that jumped out to me.
It's weird for me because I guess
you avoid the Lakers till the conference finals. Yeah, I'll take the Suns
hedge. I'll just be totally honest. I'm not giving the Jazz any respect. If they prove me wrong, they prove me wrong.
I kind of feel the same way.
I'm not giving
feel like
them
good. They've been a great
I'm really,
team
like,
for a while.
I'm really not giving them a shot to make like serious noise. Right. I just think like they go against the Lakers, sweep.
Yeah.
Five games.
What's interesting on the Lakers front is where are they going to land? Because it's a big cluster in there. And you know, you'd rather be the two if the Lakers – you know, you'd rather be the two seed than have to deal with the Lakers in the 4-5 in that second round.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, it's not even close.
For sure.
And so I'm really curious to where they're going to land. LeBron's sitting out a couple games with the ankle. They're just being careful. I'm not reading – I know the media is trying to do their traditional as LeBron declining and all that. I'm not going down that road.
I'm just speaking from experience in the Eastern Conference with the Pacers fan. Whenever LeBron is there – He's never done until he's done. So I'm saying with the Jazz and with the Suns can have it all dialed up the way that they want. The Jazz can have it all dialed up the way they want. But if LeBron's in the field until
they got Anthony Davis.
Yeah, I mean, until the King's dethroned, man, there's so many years where I was like, this is the year. Pacers are going to get it done. They got a better squad. They got a more complete squad. They're going to get it done. They got home court advantage. And then a time would come, and, you know, LeBron does his thing, and there he is in the finals.
I do worry about him coming back, though, like – being thrown into the deep. I mean, he's done it a million times.
Well, my thing with him is, like, they're not going to get challenged to at least the second series.
So you don't think that whoever they get in the 4-5, none of those guys, who are they looking like it could be?
Who's going to be, like Dallas or somebody?
Denver, maybe?
Denver, yeah, I think Dallas got the 5. I think they locked up the 5.
So Denver, yeah.
Like, I just don't, like, they're, like, I think Luka's phenomenal. I just don't think they're, like, if a healthy LeBron, healthy AD, like, that's just a tough out.
Yeah, I can't see that.
That's just a really tough
out. Sucks for Denver. Denver was looking unbelievable after the Aaron Gordon trade and then Murray tearing his ACL. And, you know, we saw the last 2 years in the playoffs, Murray has shown he's a big-time playoff guy. But when they had Murray and Jokic and Michael Porter emerging with Gordon in that four-role where they didn't actually need him to score and he could just do everything else – they were scary as hell, but without Murray, I don't know.
No, it's tough. It's tough because they, like you said, they would have not. I don't know if they would have like won it all, kind of thing. But they definitely would have been like a legit contender. It's tough. It's a tough break.
Yeah, LA right now. Speaking of Jamal Murray, lining up Denver, they're the 3 seed. Denver's 3, LA 6. So Dallas got that 5 seed, but it's going to be interesting to see Paul George choke down the stretch again. Looking forward to that.
I mean, is there any chance? I mean, we didn't even mention the Clippers yet in this conversation.
I think they're laying eight. And no one's been like, oh, the fucking Clippers.
Yeah, Kawhi, it's like all the good that Kawhi brings and the experience and the what he's proven, that all just gets canceled out by Paul George.
And even just that, like, they've, like, the Lakers, like, they got Montrezl Harrell, like, they've taken even some of their pieces that they had last year. That was part of what made them good. They were so deep. That was kind of the reason people were giving the Clippers a shot over the Lakers last year, was because they were so deep and they lost a lot of those pieces. I mean, and the Lakers picked up a bunch of pieces. Is Schroeder going to be back this year, or is he out for the year?
I'm not sure.
Because I know he was injured.
I knew he was banged up, but I'm not sure how long.
Because that's a huge piece. Like, they have, like, Kuzma. I'm a big Kuzma guy. Like,
I thought he was playing better when LeBron.
Like, they just
out.
Like, they've now, like, they're now super deep and they just have elite talent. They're just, it's just hard to see them not getting to the finals.
I mean, just the LeBron AD thing. I know it's not an on off switch, but it kind of is.
Oh, I mean,
they're
just
so experienced.
It's,
you
just
know?
I mean, LeBron's just at a point in his career where the regular season just doesn't matter. Like, them being a 6 seed. Irrelevant.
No, I think that's eventually a major problem for the NBA too. I mean, people love it, but like I said the other day, like, if you had net season tickets, how do you justify it when the big three played 7 games together?
Yep.
You know, like, they don't really care. They're just, they'll tell you either pay or don't, because somebody else is going to fucking
also the Nets
fill the seat.
The Nets are not fans, but
Right. Well, that's the thing. Yeah, obviously nobody had fans this year. What I mean, but in a normal year, like that's a major. It's not going to happen next year.
I think Big Ev meant that they literally don't have fans.
They barely have fans watching at home.
You're right. But even, you know, it's like it's a tough spot. Like people spend their disposable income. Like I want to spend $200 for my kid. It's a birthday or it's Christmas, and like you buy a game, and there's probably a 75% chance you're not going to get all three together. There's a 50% chance you're not going to get two of them together. You know what I mean? Like, you're lucky if you get one. Yeah, so it's like, why am I spending my money on these, when especially these high-def televisions? You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. No. I mean, that's – I'm still amazed.
Fair point.
And the Knicks are 17-17. New York's Millie rocking in the fucking streets.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I don't give a shit what's going on in fucking Brooklyn.
I just think it's a problem. You know, you said – I don't think it's good – like, basically telling your fan base to fuck off is – you know, guys are resting all the time, and they don't announce it till like, what, 10 minutes before the game?
No, and you're right. Fans do plan, especially if you're going to go to one or two games.
Yeah, exactly.
You you pick out like an awesome matchup or something. I don't know.
It's a bad precedent. I think it's a bad precedent.
Well, I'll tell you.
That's what Jordan always said. He felt like an obligation to show up because these guys paid $100 to see me play.
Right.
It's the one chance I'm here one time, especially on the road.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these guys are making like $500K a game, too.
Oh, of course.
I think it's probably worth mentioning. But, you know, it's all about saving for the playoffs. The NBA playoffs are grueling.
Playoffs are great. I just can't get excited about the regular season.
I mean, the first round's four out of seven now. I mean, you're looking at 20 to 28 games in the playoffs if you win at all. So I understand with 82 games, that's a lot of basketball. You mentioned your high-def TVs. Let me tell you, it would be great to eat while you're watching your high-def TVs. It's Nuts.com, the best secret of savory snacks across the country. High-quality, delicious snacks available like white chocolate toffee cashews, bourbon pecans, crystallized ginger, and honey sesame sticks. Nuts.com isn't just for nut lovers. It's your one-stop online pantry shop. Incredible variety of snack and pantry items available, including candies, dried fruits, and pantry items like baking mixes, pasta, and a whole lot more. 4,000 products to choose from. Nuts.com. Also, some healthy options, too.
Nothing wrong. Love that. Love some nuts.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah, man.
Healthy nuts.
I'm going to have to check that out, though. I mean, they've got a heck of a lot of good products. Going back to the East stuff. All right. Has anybody been watching the Wizards and how much fun they are lately? Because they were like 17-28. And nobody gave a shit. And all of a sudden, Russell Westbrook is just going medieval. And they've got him and Beal. Their games are like 160 to 140 every night. I mean, it's like the all-star game every night. Westbrook had a game where he had 24 assists the other night. But they lost 135 to 134 Milwaukee last night. They're looking at the play-in, but I really kind of hope they just seem like they're a lot of fun.
See, they could be fun in the play if they get that last seed. Just because they play – if you watch them all year – they play bad against bad teams, and they play good against good teams. You see, like the 1-point loss to the Bucks. I mean, they play up to who they play. That's just the Westbrook effect. And I've never been a Westbrook supporter. If anything, I would say I'm a Westbrook hater most of my life. But he plays hard. Like he's going to give him a shot. I just don't think he's the guy that's going to get you over the hump to win a championship. I think he plays too selfish.
I think he's one of those guys that needs to be in the playoffs because he is that electric.
For sure,
you're right. I don't have a problem with you hating him. Like. It's amazing.
My thing was when he was young. Like now, it's like it's an easy take. When he was like younger, when he was with Durant, like back, I was like, he's never gonna win.
All right.
Like watching the series in the playoffs when he's just turning the ball over left and right while Durant's just standing on the wing. I'm like, give this guy the ball in crunch time. Like it's like tough to watch because especially that Thunder team was so talented. Where
it's
I'm like,
amazing
this team,
that a
if they just stayed together,
team,
they could have won forever.
A small market team had three of
Harden, Durant,
top
yeah.
what. At least 10, but
for sure,
like,
without question,
top eight players.
Yes,
like I'm trying to narrow it down. Yep. Like the small market team has.
I mean,
three
Harden was a six. Harden came off the bench
and completely organically drafted him and Ibaka. Like you
no,
had like
Ibaka
four
was
like
awesome
strong pieces, really strong pieces.
Are those three Hall of Famers? I don't want to speak out of turn.
Easy they NBA are, Hall of Famers. Now.
All three.
Easy.
All three. Right.
Okay. All three.
Yeah, I didn't want to overstep, but they're Hall of Famers
for sure.
And they're in Oklahoma City.
Is Bradley Beal ever going to get off the Wizards, or is he just stuck on Washington forever? I mean, we've been hearing Bradley Beal to the Lakers, Bradley Beal to the Knicks. We've been hearing all of it for fucking 6 years, I feel like, and he's just still there in Washington holding
it
down.
Yeah, they keep like just thinking they're going to trade the guy, and then they just up like we grab Westbrook. Let's put something together.
And the Westbrook John
him and Raul Neto and fucking
the Westbrook John Wall thing's working out. I mean, the Wizards haven't been relevant in a while.
Yeah, I mean they needed. I think Westbrook definitely fits better with Beal's game, but they could be if they get that eighth spot, like they'll be a fun team against against the Bucks, I guess.
Bucks and the Nets, right?
Yeah,
the Sixers.
The Sixers, that's right.
Sixers-Nets. I think Bucks are the three.
That's right. Probably the Sixers.
Sixers are another team I'm just not buying. They're the Clippers of the East.
Dang,
It's all
on the Embiid. If Embiid just can stay healthy,
Sixers have been in the playoffs a long time.
They're one of those teams I agree. It's just one of those things that you've seen it time and time again. I'm not getting excited about it until they get over the hump.
Yeah,
they're in the playoffs. They lose in the second round.
They're a good market to have a big playoff series. Like, Philly should be in. It's a basketball city. Like, they give a shit. Good fan base, relatively. It's good to watch them in a 7-game series. But, yeah, you're right. They're just not Celtics.
I need to see it. You got to see it when you're over the hump. The Celtics this year, I don't know what the fuck happened to them.
Weird.
But they're a team that still, they'll be a tough out. I think playoff time, I still think they'll be a tough out.
I meant it felt like the Celtics beat the Sixers every year. I could be wrong.
They did. They did, I feel like they do. Yeah, okay.
I feel like the Celtics, the Stevens era, it's like in playoffs, he shows up big because he's such a good coach, makes adjustments over the 7-game series, and they're a really tough underdog, but they kind of stink in games they're supposed to win.
Yeah,
they've been weird. It's been like that under him for a while.
I mean, this year they've just been very – like because they have a lot of talent, and they have young talent. But it's like how – it's they are still young – but I think it's one of those things now that you keep seeing, like, they keep being there, and, like, this year they really regressed a little bit as a team. It just makes you think, like, it's just what, like, what's it going to be for the future? They've had talks about even, like, potentially trading Jaylen Brown. I don't know how much they actually considered that, but it's been talked about. Because Tatum's obviously, like, Tatum's the guy.
I'd argue, like, as a sports fan, the most fun seasons are like this next year when you have no, no expectations, and then you're, like, fun and pretty good. It's the best. Like, even, like, these championship teams, you see Bama and the Patches to dominate. The expectations are so high, you can't, like, enjoy going 10-6 if you're New England, you know?
Oh,
like,
I mean, I was an Ohio State fan. This season was a failure.
Yeah, that's the thing with sports. It's like, and, like, I look at, like, Ole Miss last year, freaking 5-5. It was the most fun I've ever, like, had in the season.
Steelers was 11-0, and then the year when Duck Hodges was a quarterback and they were just fighting for their lives every week. Too much fun.
It's just weird. It's like a sports thing, but it's just all about expectations and meeting.
House money.
I went to school in Massachusetts. I have friends from New England. We were at a bachelor party at Michigan. We went to Ann Arbor. And on a Sunday, the NFL games were on. The Pats had a bye. They sat there like elitist people. Like, oh, how could you drive a Lexus? Like, we drive. Like, they were like elitist, like, shitbag assholes for the entire day with Red Zone. They're like, it's like the Browns against like the Lions, and they're like, "How do you guys watch this shit? Like this is horrible." Like the Reds, like every team, if it wasn't the Pats, because they were so spoiled of being 12-4, 14-2, like 12-4 was a bad year. I'm like, you know, you guys, he's gonna leave one day. You guys are gonna fucking
realize where
the rest of the world is.
It pissed me off this year because they weren't good, and it was like they just didn't care about football. They were like, oh, like whatever, like
it's a reset.
It felt like they just didn't watch.
They kind of
like my one roommate Ben, like it was like it was almost like he was like playing video games while the game's on. Like they just like it's like it doesn't matter, and it was so annoying because I'm like, you guys don't, you spoiled fucks, like you just don't even care. Like I'm like, you don't actually care. You only care if they win. If they lose, you're a fucking bitch about it.
Sickening.
Like, oh whatever. I'm like, fuck off, dude.
No, they used to. Their fans used to say the season didn't start till the AFC Championship.
Even like fights, like fights said a bunch of times. Like he's just like, oh, like what? Like they're bad. Like, oh, whatever. Like, and then when they all of a sudden they look good. That like Cam had a couple of good games. You get excited at the beginning of the year. The second it goes bad, they're like, oh, whatever.
Yeah. Fights is talking about how they're going to eliminate the Steelers in the playoffs and shit. And then it's like, oh yeah, they ain't making. But then the Steelers fucked themselves. So
I guess it is a little bit easier to just be like, you know what? It's 1 year we suck. Hey, guess what? I could do apple picking. I could go to your family's Christmas party.
Make up a lot of fall time.
I'm all good. Like, yeah. I could have 1 year reset, and then I'll care about it next year.
Well, and it's the same with them. It's like just they've just won so much. It's like they are playing with house money. I mean, they could not win for a decade. They're
it'll
like, all right, we're
so it'll
five
never,
rings like this.
Them, yeah.
It'll never
six,
be re-
six
never
fucking
be re-
rings.
Never be repeated. That run
no,
will
no
never,
chance.
Never,
no
ever,
way.
Ever be repeated.
Six?
Sick.
I mean,
over the course of 20 years, people forget.
The only team that has a chance to act even be close is Mahomes and Reed. Like,
I mean, that's even tough. Yeah.
Like, but it's still tough. Like, matching six is just ridiculous.
Forget winning
ridiculous.
Six. I still think it's more impressive that they went to 9.
Yeah.
And they went to the AFC Championship, like, what, like?
From
every year.
01 to 20 is what, 19 years, 20 years?
Yeah.
They went every other year.
How much did
and like, the Super Bowls they lost, every single, all the three that they lost were tough games.
Yep.
Didn't Tom say that he would trade two of his rings to beat the Giants and go undefeated?
Yeah.
I believe it. That was like absolutely. One of the best days of my life as a fan.
Oh, that's
my
God. Still a true.
My dad waking up like that next day would like be like, fuck school, we're going to the parade.
Yeah.
That was like the best thing in the world.
He awesome. His six are a true six. So he probably should have lost to the Rams. Probably should have lost to the Seahawks and the Falcons when you look at the breaks that they got late.
They definitely should have lost the Falcons. God, they were getting the shit kicked out of them in that game.
He definitely should have won against the Eagles, the Giants.
The Eagles, I mean, they played really well.
The Eagles didn't stop them once.
They won by eight. That was the biggest margin.
We're going to look back at that, and it's Nick Foles as their quarterback.
Malcolm
Butler thing really hurt them.
That too. I mean, so the way I look at it, Brady has a true the true six.
Because the Seahawks, when he goes back and forth, because people forget so much. The catch that Curse made on the sideline was, like, ridiculous.
Yep.
Bobbling on his back, and he comes down with it. Because I remember watching that game and just him making that catch and being like, oh, my God, Brady's going to lose this again.
Yeah.
On some crazy catch. He's going to lose again, just not get the ball back. And then, obviously, what happened. Yeah.
Sickening.
Insane.
I still can't believe the Falcons won. I mean, like, first half, like, Grady Jarrett literally just lived in that.
Well, not even that. And then they come out and make it 28-3, like, immediately.
And the way the Falcons can run it with Shanahan, too, you think that was –
there's so many plays. Like, you just take one of those plays away, the Edelman catch, the Dante Howard. That was the one that, like, swung the momentum, started to swing it. They started to really believe again. Like, obviously, Brady never quit, but I'm saying that, like, the whole team – you even saw just the sideline, like they were just like back in it, like mentally.
It's tough to come back from that.
How much the Steelers fan, like the because the Steelers lost so many playoff games, a big.
Championships.
How much hatred is there toward the Pats?
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely not liked. They hate them. They're definitely not liked. But you know what? I try to remove myself from that, and I just say, you know, I got to tip the cap, man. I mean, I can't hate the man. You know, I can hate the team because they beat my team, but with Tom Brady. I got just tipped the cap, dude. And so I get a lot of shit because they're like, you're a Steelers fan. How can you like Tom Brady? I'm like, how can you not, I mean, man? Fucking sixth-round pick. Sixth all that
pick
shit
ran like
in,
a 5'2", 40.
Dominates the NFL. Still going. You know what I mean? Like, it's unbelievable.
For me, it was the Falcons one. That was the one that I stopped. I was like.
You just had, yeah.
I remember coming back to my frat house and literally, like, two kids that I was good friends with at the house were Patriots fans. And I remember I walked in and I just saw their. Coincidentally, there happened to be like a white. There was like a big roll of paper towels, and I just ripped a big thing off and just threw it at him. I was like, "That was my white towel." I'm like, over. Like, I'm like, that's it. Like 28-3. Like, you got it. Like, he's the king. Like,
yeah, no, Atlanta.
There's no like fuck Tom Brady anymore. There's no like this or that. It's just like it's over.
Oh, dude, in
you
Indy,
got it.
In
you got
Indy,
it.
Trust me, they still find a way. They still find a way to talk about Peyton Manning being better than Tom Brady. And I'm like, you guys are a bunch of fucking sad sacks.
No,
give it up.
Yeah, it's just unarguable.
I think you don't realize the greatness till you're in it. And I talked about it on The Last Dance, which I'm sure people are like gonna be like, oh, how could you admit that? As a suburban kid, like in a family with two parents, I'm not afraid to. I'd be lying if I wasn't telling the truth. The Jordan games, I was going to sleep in those games. 97, 90, like, and I think anybody here will say you didn't watch.
I wasn't old enough.
You didn't watch Jordan, right?
I
there's a big thing of like I watch Jordan live all the time. It's like
no,
all right.
They were on WGN when I was. I watched.
Yeah,
all
if it. You're a fine, you're a. How old are you?
I'm 37. I'm old.
Okay, so you're a little bit older than me. And, you know, but there are also times where you're just a kid. You're downstairs playing with your brother. Like your dad wasn't. If you're not it's not your team.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You're downstairs playing. Before you know it, like now it's 9:30. It's in the fourth quarter, or you missed it. You know what I mean? Like. When you're an 11, 12-year-old kid, that's what was going on. You know, you didn't have – it wasn't appointment television. So Brady, being a little bit older, I've watched all of them. It's to revel in that. Yep. Like, you're never going to see a guy like that again. It was crazy.
Nah, that the first one they won, too. They were a 14-point underdog in that Rams.
Yeah. Oh, that's I don't think they should have won that one.
No, that one was –
that was unbelievable.
That was crazy. I want to ask you about the Big Ben Steelers stuff. Like,
okay.
Because y'all were 11-0.
Yeah.
And granted, it felt – a little fluky 11-0, I thought. I mean, they were definitely off to a great start. Now, like, I love getting Najee Harris. I mean, I don't just like it. I mean, I think that, you know, given the veteran quarterback to help run back, like, I was shocked. And, look, I'm no NFL, you know, I'm not Stephen Shea or Scout. But I can't believe nobody was talking top 10 or 15 for me. He was like the best college running back or one I've ever seen.
Yeah,
and he catches the ball. He's a monster.
We're just getting into the blanketed, you know, everybody on Twitter thinks they're super smart because, you know, people for the last 5 years have just talked about how, well, you can get a good guy in the fourth round running back too. Well, you know what? There's a lot of dudes you can get a wide receiver in the fourth round too. Jamar Chase still goes number five. You know, what do you want to do at 24? You want us to fucking overdraft a lineman that gets taken 50th overall just because it's in the first round? And if you don't address in the first round, then you're an idiot? Fuck that. I love the Najee Harris pick. I'm excited about it. I think the same thing you said. He catches out of the backfield.
He's a monster.
He's a monster. You know,
the AFC
super
North,
productive.
The cold weather.
Yeah,
he's
man.
A guy that can you give you the ball
what?
30 times.
And
know?
Like you said, Big Ben, he's old as shit, dude. I admit that absolutely. He's not mobile at all. You know what he needs? He needs a dude like Najee Harris that he can just dump it off to when things get bad. And you know what, Najee? Take it and run, dude. So I love the pick. Everybody who's talking about how they'll need to adjust the O-line. You know what they did? They addressed the O-line in the third and fourth round. So
how'd you feel about Villanueva throwing the shot at Juju?
Dude, fuck that. You know what? I mean, what's so funny is that Al Villanueva was the worst offensive lineman on our team last year, and then the Ravens are, you know, the Ravens like to talk shit about the Steelers' offensive line, and Ravens fans like to talk shit about the Steelers' offensive line, and now they're celebrating when they got our sloppy seconds. They got the worst offensive lineman on our team last year. Now they're all celebrating because he took a shot at Juju. All right, you we're going to be the ones laughing when T.J. Watt and Alex Highsmith are coming off the edge against Al Villanueva in the fall. So think about that.
They did trade Orlando Brown, too. Crazy.
Yeah, you're going from Orlando Brown to Al Villanueva. Yeah, good
I
luck.
Thought y'all were going to get J.J. Watt.
I never really did. No, that was all, you know, that was fun, like fodder online and everything. But he wanted too much money. He didn't, like, obviously he wanted to go to a nice spot like Arizona. I mean, he even talked about it in his opening press conference. He was like, waking up to 80 degrees and sunny every day ain't bad. That's not happening in Pittsburgh. So
what's your ideal situation here when Ben finally hangs it up? You buying Mason Rudolph? I like them at Oklahoma State.
No, I'm not buying.
Neither
Mason
am I.
Rudolph.
I don't know if
no,
I'm.
No, yeah. No. I mean, he could be a good dude that, you know, kind of just, you know, a stopgap dude. But, you know, I kind of, in a weird way, because so many people in the Steelers community and fandom likes to shit on Big Ben so much for him being the quarterback, I'm like, you know what? You fuckers deserve to have some purgatory time for quarterback because you've had a quarterback for 17 years that you've been relying on, that's taken you to Super Bowls, that has been a top guy in the league, top 10, whatever, and you like to complain about it. So you know what? You deserve 5 or 6 years of quarterback purgatory where you're bouncing back and forth. Like you're talking about with those spoiled New England fans. Yep. You know what I mean? Like, all these fans out there, like Cleveland fans, everybody, they know what it's like Bears fans. They know what it's like to not have a guy. You know what? You kind of deserve to not have a guy because you like to shit on Big Ben and you want to go to Mason Rudolph. And you forget that Mason Rudolph got benched for Duck Hodges in 2019 for a little bit. So, you know, I don't know what the plan is, Rico. I know that they're going to try to ride it out in 2021 and they're going to make the best that they can to try to do one last shot. But other than that, I think that we're just looking at kind of quarterback purgatory, honestly.
Are you opposed to, and they never do this, but bringing in a guy like Stafford, obviously, but I'm saying a guy with some miles on the tires.
So they tried
than going through the draft.
They tried to get Jameis when he went to the Saints last year.
Yeah.
That was the second. I thought if I were Jameis, I would have gone to pick a chance to play.
And everybody talked about like Sam Darnold too, possibly. You know, obviously now he's in Carolina. They thought Sam Darnold would have been a nice, you know, fit there with, you know, he went to USC with Juju and. I don't know, man. I'm a big draft the quarterback guy. I think that, like, you just have to, like, if you want to get your guy, we've seen that you got to fucking make, you know, you got to do like the Bears. You got to go trade up. You got to get Justin Fields. You got to do like the Chiefs. You got to go up. You got to get your Patrick Mahomes. Like, I just think that if you keep stopgapping the quarterbacks, whether it be trade or whether it be free agent, you're always just going to kind of find yourself middle of the pack. You're going to find yourself wild card weekend.
But it doesn't cost you anything. For the guy, if you go and get those guys, for every guy that you go get, there's been three or four you're wrong on. Josh Rosen.
Sure.
I'm trying to think of fucking some other busts. I mean, if Zach Wilson's wrong, the Jets reset the clock again.
Again,
for the third time.
But at least you got him on the rookie contract, though. That's for 4 years.
Right. I mean, they were wrong on Darnold. Let's face it. Or they might not be, but for those 3 years,
Darnold, Joe Brady bounce back could be coming.
Yeah, I'm interested.
I think Darnold with Joe Brady, and
Terrace
Carolina.
Marshall, Chris McCaffrey.
Yeah, they got it. And DJ Moore went off last year.
DJ Moore. Yeah.
Either way, they still wasted a three or two pick, and they did.
Well, it's like Big Ev with the Giants, man. Like, I mean, Daniel Jones. You're like kind of what we got.
You're in the same spot as me because we're around the same age. Like, they got obviously Eli Roethlisberger the same draft. Yeah. Like, he became the quarterback when I was 8 or 9 years old. Like, I didn't know anything else.
Yeah.
He was the quarterback when I was 8 years old till I was, like, 24, 25.
Yeah.
No, no, anything else. So now it's, like, you appreciate it so much more, even though, like, Eli, he had high highs, low lows, but I wouldn't trade him for anything. Daniel Jones now, I mean, it's a weird spot because now he's really, and this is his do or die year, I think, of what we do going forward. But it's just a weird thing, man. Like, having that quarterback is so big. It's so, so, so big. You just can't win without it. You can't.
I feel like the Giants, yeah, they're trying to do everything they can to give them some guys around them. Kadarius Toney now. Saquon.
Barkley needs to stay healthy. Barkley's health things.
This is his year.
Slayton, it's Shepard, Jones' year. Like, if he can't win with what we put around him, like, I don't know if he's ever.
And y'all have invested in the O-line.
The defense is good. Like, everything's there.
Hi, friends. MeUndies believes that comfort is about more than what's touching your skin. It's about feeling comfortable in your own skin. That's why MeUndies not only uses sustainable, breathable, soft-as-heck fabric, but they also give you endless styles to choose from. It's total comfort inside and out. Never leave your couch again with the MeUndies membership, a monthly subscription that sends new pairs right to your door. Each month, you'll choose new undies, socks, or a bralette, and pick the style and color of print that feels the most you. Sounds like fun, right? Plus, every discounted pricing, free shipping, and exclusive early access to new launches. Love your butt and get the membership. To get your first 15% off your order and free shipping, go to MeUndies.com/picks. That's MeUndies.com/picks. And I'm looking forward to getting some MeUndies because I need some new boxers and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I've been hearing good reviews on it. Guys, we got to get to our picks for the day. I got to give Mush credit. He had the 7-0 start. He went 1-4 yesterday, and he's still way up on all of us.
What's the over-under when he gives it back? I say May 11th.
And you're giving him some credit there. That's 6 days. I mean, he's 2 games. Well, he's 8-4. You're 8-8 in second. I'm doing horrible.
I know it too well. It goes real fast.
He's going to go real
one
quick.
One day you're up 10 units. You look like a week and a half later, you're down 10. You don't even know what happened. Your head's fucking spinning.
All right, well, let's go ahead and get to our picks for the day. Joey, do you, our guest, do you have anything you'd like to add for today?
Yeah, the only thing I got is I would go with Atlanta. They're -6 right now, and the Pacers are dead. They're fucking dead in the water. That team sucks. That franchise is going nowhere, and they just had a fucking spat last night on the court. So I know Atlanta's coming off a back-to-back, but the Pacers are just dead in the water. So
their assistant coach just got suspended.
Yeah, I think Batate did spat. Too. Yeah, it's all they're fucking terrible.
Shambles.
I guess who wants to go next? I'll go next.
Big card today. I love a lot of the day action today in baseball.
Yeah, Ev,
got a lot of 1 o'clock action.
If there's day sports,
I'm all over. I love it.
I really feel like I see it, but yeah.
I love day it. Games. So I got the Yankees -1.5. I got the Phillies. I got the Nationals. I got the Mets. And I got the Red Sox -1. The Mets is scary.
Deeper.
That team, you never know. Like, they might score 8 runs and they might score 0.
I'm back around on the Mets. They're a good team, which makes it more frustrating that they stink.
And then also there's a couple NBA plays that were like, I'm on the Hawks -6 as well. I love the Hawks tonight. I also love the Nets Mavericks over 233.5. And I'm also on the Lakers +8 today. I think they keep it close against the Clippers.
No LeBron, but
I think they keep it close still. I think they keep it close.
All right, Rico, you're
Royals. Money line.
You've been kind of riding them a little bit.
Yeah, I've been spying them. I also have always made sure to take a dog in baseball a day off. That's the Royals today. I didn't do the dogs, obviously, but I'll take the Royals. Royals when they were a dog, I like taking them. Royals, Diamondbacks, and the Warriors Thunder over 229.5.
I like
we said, the Thunder kind of phoned it in. Steph can go for maybe 146 himself. I'll take my chances with the over 229.5.
I'll go ahead and do mine, and then we're going to let Marty being a first, we're going to announce his picks as well. NBA, I feel like a sucker after what Joey said and follows the Pacers, but I took them +6 just because the Hawks won as a home dog and are traveling today. We'll see. I'm not going to back off it. I took the Mavericks as a 3.5-point home dog against the Nets, and I'm adding Golden State by 13.5 at home against a dead man walking Thunder team. Yep. Golden State's fighting to, you know, it looks like they're going to get the 9, and the Spurs are hanging on by a game and a half over the Pelicans, but Golden State lost a tough game in New Orleans, which I don't know if any of y'all saw the lights go out in NOLA again.
Yeah.
Steph, I feel like I was joking, but Steph literally shot the lights out. He had like 31 in the first half, and then the lights went off for like a minute, and Steph scored like 2 points the rest of the game, and the Pelicans came back. It was like the Ravens-Niners Super Bowl. Dude, it just gets wild in New Orleans,
I was
going
to say, man.
New Orleans, you just never know, man. I mean, it's just – I saw it, and I was just like, man, Steph literally shot the lights out in this building. But the Pels are only a game and a half back. In MLB, I've got the Brewers -122 and the Astros as a +170 big dog. And Marty, we've got Marty's picks here, and he's in first place. He's 8-4. I mean, he went 1-4 yesterday and still 8-4. He's got the Yankees minus a run and a half, the Nationals, and and he's got the Oakland Athletics plus 116. Hey, not too big a juice today for Marty.
No, I know. Yeah, he's finding his value.
That was just so wild that he ended up with that no-hitter yesterday.
Crazy. What's more wild is that Jeff Lowe right now is probably the most liked person in the office, and Marty decides, I'm going to take a shot at him.
Oh, yeah. I wish I was so upset that Marty left because I wanted to just say, I wanted to just beat his head in for that comment. And just so far, I'm just like, basically just like, oh, like he did a great job, but why is everyone sucking his dick?
I read that in bed, and I literally out loud just go,
I was like, Marty. Yeah. I was like, and I know Marty, he didn't mean it from like a
no,
dark
he doesn't.
Place.
No, he doesn't.
But I was like, Marty, I was like, you don't always got to be contrarian. I was like,
right. I mean,
I was like, give the guy a break. He just did a fucking awesome thing that he built from the ground up. Honestly, the one person, like the one thing that literally, the one that was able to get like everyone involved, everyone super passionate about it. Like the dozen, I think, is really a special thing that he's built. Because I think, and it's also, it's timeless. Like you can go on, you can watch the episodes go back anytime. Yeah. You can watch, it's going to keep going probably forever. It's just great content.
Now, Andy, I was obviously not going to spoil anything in this tournament, but last night we were out in Murray Hill and Jeff walked in and got like a huge standing O from everybody in there. And he created, got to just give him so much respect. The dozen started during COVID when there was no sports content. Yeah.
No, he's
and he created. Awesome I mean,
thing.
He built that thing. That thing's his child. I mean, I don't even know how many hundreds of hours. How do you come up with questions like that much?
And, just, and,
you know,
and him too. Like
even
I give
more
him
so
more
the creative questions too. I give him a lot of credit for.
Crushed it.
And he's a guy. I know this is a Jeff Tilo suck fest, but I'll throw one more in there. He does, this guy does the graphics too. Like he grinds, man. Like he does. He's not just a face for the host. Like he's doing the graphics.
He's always.
He's got
all
help
these
too,
things.
Though. It's a chain.
No,
shout
he
out
does.
To
shout
team.
Out to shout out to Goochman.
Yeah, everybody.
All the people behind the scenes.
Ken Jack helps a little too.
For
no?
sure. Ken Jack does a great job. All those guys.
Owen.
Yeah. Owen, of course.
Well, guys, enjoyed it. Thank y'all for joining us, Joe. It's been great having you in.
Hell yeah,
Avery. Man. I'm learning more about hockey in the last
there
2 days than I probably knew before. Always great to catch up with Rico and Ev. Stay tuned to the Yak next up here, and thank y'all for joining us on Pick Central. Brandon will be back tomorrow. The show will roll on Friday. Thank y'all for joining us.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.